I want you to stand this morning and turn to John 14, the Gospel according to John. And let's look at verse 8 through 14. John 14, 8 through 14. Amen. God is so good, and we love him this morning. Amen. So Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Wow. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Hallelujah. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do what? Also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Let's hold up our Bible this morning and say it like we mean it. Come on. "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive the word. And I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen." Turn around and give somebody a high five and say, "He's a good daddy." Praise God, amen. Wow. You know, this is the heart of the gospel. This is why Jesus came, not only to bring salvation to us and all that encompasses salvation, you know, healing, amen. Prosperity. Amen. Praise God. Peace, joy, everything. But the heart is to reveal the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father. The Old Testament showed the hand of God, but the New Covenant shows the heart of God. The heart of God, the grace of God, who God is. Through Jesus Christ, we have a picture of the Father. Amen? What a beautiful picture it is. A beautiful picture of God. Amen? I don't know about your earthly father experience. And a lot of times, you know, when we start talking about Father and Father's Day, you know, some people have had some bad experiences with their father and grew up in a very rough, arena. I want to tell you, my life was not easy growing up. And, you know, my father a lot of times didn't know how to relate very well to his children. I remember going in to bars on Father's Day and on his birthday to give him a card. And I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. But in spite of all that, I felt my dad loved me, which was a great thing. And I appreciated that. But my dad passed away when I was 17 and a senior in high school. But at the same year, I received Christ into my life. And you talk about a good daddy and a good father and one that is full of wisdom, full of love, never turns his back on you. And I've never been to a bar to drag him out. He's usually in the bars. What? God goes to bars? Absolutely. Some of his best ministry takes place in bars. I'm gonna share with you in just a moment. Amen. God is not afraid of people. God loves people. And the Father's love never turns his back on anyone. That's the kind of God we have. That's where Jesus came to show us. And there's such a vast difference from the concept of the law and the God of judgment to the God of grace. That has always been his heart to reveal to man. You know, it was man's choice when it came to the law, because they said, "Hey, we can do this." And God said, "Oh, okay, go ahead. Here's 10. And then man all of a sudden discovered, "Hey, we can't do this. And we need Jesus. We need somebody to help us." And that's where God, the heart of the Father, sent Jesus to us. Isn't that awesome? God is so good and so wonderful, and he is a forgiving, loving God today. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:18. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Amen. I will be a father. Everybody say father. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. That is his heart. God says, I want to be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Man, God is so good and so awesome. And then Paul took it a little bit further, also in Romans. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. Look how Paul described our Father now. It is so cool and so awesome. Amen. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, fear should not be a part of your vocabulary. Fear should be far from you. Fear prevents you from receiving all that God has for you. And the Bible says that his love casts out fear. You have no need to fear God any longer. You have a respect for God, a reverence for God, but you don't have to fear him. Why? Because he loves you unconditionally today. So many people try to instill a fear about God. You know, I reverenced my father. In fact, sometimes I think I feared him. Yeah, he put the fear of God in me at times, for sure. But I want you to understand, our Heavenly Father, you reverence him, you worship him, but you don't have to fear him any longer because of Jesus and because of the work of the cross and because of grace and because of the Holy Spirit that he sent into our hearts. So he says, we're not again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, what? Abba, Father. We've received the spirit of adoption. Now, when I was growing up as a kid, I grew up in so many different places and really didn't know where I was going to be at, you know, from month to month. And we'd be in hotel rooms and different places like that. And it wasn't a very stable home. There was a lot of fear interjected into my life and a lot of insecurity because I didn't really know where we were going to be or what was going on the next time. And I remember, you know, it's like, wow, man. But I want to tell you, there is such security in God. He loves you today, and he's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's always going to be there present with you. That is a consistent love of the Father. Amen? When the ministry, we grew up and we traveled quite a bit, but I always wanted to make my girls secure. I always wanted to let them know that, you know, they had a dad, and he's going to be there, and he's going to be supplying for them. He's going to be watching out for them. He's going to be ministering to them. Amen. He's going to be protecting them, especially when these boys want to come around. Amen, amen, Andrew. Hallelujah. But Paul opens up this idea that we have God not only as Father, but as Daddy. Let me tell you, it's one thing to be a father, but it's another thing to be a daddy. And growing up, when the girls would, you know, come to me, they would never come and say, oh, father. You know, they'd come and say, hey, dad. But if they really wanted something, there's a magic word, and that's daddy. Something about daddy is that magic word that just kind of like, oh, okay, amen. And they still use that on me, by the way. Isn't that amazing, you know? So still, daddy, I say, what do you want? And that's the way God sees us, amen? And Paul says, we received not the spirit of bondage, but a spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Look at the next verse, amen? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not only are we the children of God, but look at this, amen, next verse. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. The Holy Spirit has made us heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Man, you've got inheritance coming your way. Man, my dad didn't leave me anything. Nothing. Zero. Didn't have anything to leave me. Really. But my Heavenly Father, wow, do I have an inheritance? Amen. Man, it is awesome. It is out of this world. Praise God. And not only there, but as Bobby said, here too. Days of heaven on earth here, supplied through my Heavenly Father, my Daddy, my Abba, amen, who is so good, amen. Wow. You may have had a bad experience with your father, but your heavenly father loves you and cares for you, he will never, ever, listen to me, disappoint you. He will never, ever disappoint you. He is that good. Amen. He cares about every aspect of your life. Look at Luke 12:7. Look at this. This is such an amazing little verse of scripture. Well, big verse of scripture. Luke 12:7. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Man, God cares about your intimate details. He cares about your life. He cares about your expression. He cares about your cares. Amen? And he wants to be involved in your life and in your cares because he cares. And the Bible says he cares so much that you can cast your care on him because he cares for you. Man, you know, I've had Shepherd over our house here the last few days, and Holly and I decided we'd had him first if we'd have known how great grandchildren are, and they're awesome, praise God. Man, he is so awesome, and to put him in my lap, I would never, ever, 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 ever think about harming that child. If you're a father's heart, that's the way you are. You have a heart, you think, I would never do anything to harm my child. I mean, there's some mean people out there, but if you truly have a heart of a father, God puts it in there that you'd, and I mean, I hold that little guy, and I am just like, this is awesome, praise God. And he is so cool, and so, I mean, it's like, man, okay, you're a doting grandfather, amen, I confess, amen. But he is awesome, and I thought, how much more does God love us? How much more does God care for us? How much more is God involved in our life? Look at Matthew 7:9. Matthew 7:9, we're going to drop down through here just a moment. How much value are you to God this morning? Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Jesus talking here. Would you give him a stone if he's asking for bread? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If then being evil, no, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more? You guys heard this little story about Kay when she was, I don't know, maybe 3 years old, and we were in Maine, and we were sitting out on the deck, and, you know, Maine only has two seasons, 4th of July and winter, and it's probably 4th of July because you couldn't get out on the deck any other time. It was so cold. But we were sitting there, and there's a little, playground over by the church, and we had a parsonage next to the church there, and man, she come running, and I still see her, you know, running, her little curls in her hair, and there's kind of long, it was bouncing. She was just running those legs as fast as she could, and she's saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? She'd been over there playing, and we'd been watching her. Daddy, Daddy. She came up to me and said, Daddy. I said, what's going on, baby? She said, sneak. I said, what? She said, sneak. I said, snake? Sneak. I thought, I don't like snakes. And I know God's given us authority over them, but I don't like them. Come on, somebody. Anybody with me? Amen. And you know, Maine is, it's cold. It's like, you know, cold in Maine. There's hardly any snakes in Maine, and no poisonous ones that I know of. But anyway, I said, okay, baby. So she grabbed me by the hand, and I went back over by the swing set, and, you know, I was looking all around and all of that, and I saw a piece of rope on the ground, and I said, is that it? And I was thinking, you know, that's it. And she said, no, Daddy, that's not it. I said, oh, my goodness. I was hoping that was it. And, you know, she kept looking around. All of a sudden, she said, snake, Daddy, snake. And I go, oh. And I looked down, and it was brown, and it was yellow, and it was a caterpillar. And me, being the brave father that I am, reached down and grabbed that caterpillar, hallelujah, and threw it over my head, you know. And I was a hero that day. Amen. I captured that snake. And I thought, how much does God care about us? Amen. Look what he says. If you then being evil know how to good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who what? Then ask him. Just ask him. Amen. Next verse, look at this. Amen. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, you also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Amen. Just ask him. God says, just ask me. I want to lavish you with goodness and good things. We serve that good of a God, church. Amen. He is so good to us. Praise the Lord. And he loves you today unconditionally. Praise God. Look at 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. We're getting down here. I just want to share some good things with you about the Father this morning. Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we shall be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. What manner of love, God's unconditional love, bestowed on all of us today, that we are the children of God. The Bible says he's given you the power, the authority to become children of God. You are no longer an orphan. You no longer have to wander. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. Because of his grace. So good, brother. Turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to go down through Luke chapter 15 this morning, starting in verse 1. Praise God. This is the essence of where I want to go to today. God's love for you. Amen. This is an amazing scripture. Look at this scripture. This is where God, he just loves people. Then all the tax collectors and all the tax collectors, they were the worst part of society. Some might say they still are. Amen. All the tax collectors and all the sinners ran away from him. Hid. This is amazing scripture. Look at God's love here in this scripture. Drew near to him to hear him. That's not a God of angry, mad, upset, getting ready to punch your lights out. People run from a religious God that religion has pictured. But the God of the gospel is one that people run to, because it's such good news that God loves them in the midst of their turmoil, in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of what's going on in their life. And you know, these that committed suicide recently, some of these big stars, if they would have known that type of God, I'm going to guarantee you that would have never happened. Because somewhere in their life, I believe they were told God is mad at them and God can't forgive them and God is not a part of their life. But I want to tell you, God wants to be a part of everyone's life, and God is a God of hope, not punishment and pain. Woo! Amen. He is a God of grace and love in our lives, and he can take the worst situation and turn it around. There is never a hopeless situation with the God of Jesus Christ. He is there for everyone, every time, and he doesn't repel people. He draws people. The good news message draws people. Amen. The religious message stops people. You know, I hear people say, all the time, not this church, but I've heard over the years, I don't go to church because when I go to church, I feel worse when I go than when I come, or when I come in and when I go. Amen. God doesn't want you to feel that way. He loves us. He drew sinners near to him to hear him, and he gives three parables here. Let's go down through them quickly, all right? And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Whoa, the religious folks says, this guy receives sinners. Imagine that. Not only does he receive sinners, but he what? He eats with them. He fellowships with them. Praise God. I told you God hangs out at the bars, right? Amen. God is there. Amen. And fellowships with them. So he spoke this parable with them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, didn't we sing about this morning, Kay? If he loses one of them, does not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which lost until what? Till he finds it. God's love and compassion goes after those that are lost. Those that are whole need not a physician. It's those that haven't got it made yet. Those that think they're worthless, that think they're an outcast. God's love is searching for them today. Amen? God's love is there for them today. And he said, this shepherd leaves the 99. The shepherd is a picture of Jesus. leaving the 99, the good shepherd, amen, that laid down his life for the sheep, leaves the 99 and goes after the one in the wilderness. And look at this. This is so cool. I love this. Next verse, amen. And when he finds it, when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. He picks it up. He puts it on his shoulders. He gives it rest and does what? Rejoicing. God is rejoicing today over us. Hallelujah. In fact, he's singing over us today. In fact, we're in the place of security. We're on his shoulders. We've got a good outlook. Kay was probably about 13, 14. We're down in Savannah, Georgia, somewhere older maybe? 15, 16, I don't know. But we were in Savannah, and it was a hot day, and she'd wore some shoes, and we were walking around, and her feet were hurting her so bad. And I said, "Baby, you okay?" And she said, "No, my feet's hurting me so bad, Dad." I said, "Well, hop up here." She got on my shoulder. Here I am carrying a 15-year-old kid on my shoulders, right? Amen. Around. She had a great view, by the way. When God places you up, he always is in the position of lifting you up, by the way. God always wants to lift you up. He wants to give you a different perspective than what you've seen down here. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen? God is always in the lifting up business, not in the putting down business. You know, some people love to put others down. In fact, they love to put other ministries down. Turn to somebody and say, "Help us all." Don't do that. Let the word speak for itself. If you want to correct somebody, let the word correct it. You don't have to say this or say that. Let God's word correct it. Amen? God's word is so amazing. Amen? If you can't explain your place from the word and your position from the word and have to detract from somebody else's ministry to do so, you're wrong. I don't know how that came in there, but that's good. Amen? You need to be able to explain your position from the word. Amen? And not detract from somebody else's ministry, but put it on the word and say, "This is what the word says about it." Let the word speak. Oh, good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. So I lifted her up and I carried her around that city. She had a great time. Amen. And that's how God is. God is always lifting up. God is always carrying us. He is always there and he's rejoicing. Look at the next verse. Amen. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors over one sheep. Over one sheep that's lost, he throws a party. He calls his friends, he calls his neighbors, and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Man, God didn't want to have a party alone. He invites everyone to join in. I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Next verse. Or what woman, having the 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Wow. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." And many people and scholars say this was an engagement piece, and she lost one of those. Like losing a diamond out of your ring. My mother-in-law lost a diamond the other day out of her ring, and she was panicked. She had to get to the jeweler right away to get that diamond back in her ring. Cost her $29 or something like that. But what's so cool about this, guys, the first picture was Jesus, the shepherd. The second picture is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always searching and looking and wooing people to come to him, to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? And there's such value in that. Such value in that. And he searched all the house, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Next verse. "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A certain man had," how many sons? "Two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." You know, that father could have held out on his son, but he didn't. He asked and he gave. That's just like our Father. Even though he was a rebellious son, he asked and he gave. Guys, I want to tell you, love your kids even through rebellion. You didn't hear what I said. Love your children. Now, here's my prayer for you. My prayer for you that they never go through rebellion. I mean, really, our girls, I attribute it to my wife, did an amazing job of raising them because, as far as I know, they never went through any rebellion. Elise was kind of a wild child. She's still kind of free, but she's awesome. I love her. She was like, put me down, let me go. Kay was like, let me hang on to you. Amen. Our daughter Crystal, she was kind of somewhere in between. But none of them, my oldest one gave us a little rebellion, but our other two girls, none. I believe you can raise your kids in the grace of God where they don't give you any rebellion. Oh, I didn't get a big amen out of that. I believe you can raise your children in the grace of God, in God's grace, where there's not rebellious years. Amen? So much of that is showing the love of the Father through you to them. Fathers, you have a great, great challenge raising your kids. There are times when you do correct your children. You don't hear what I'm saying. There are times when you do correct your children. The Holy Spirit corrects us at times. Amen? I would not allow my kid to go out and play in the street in traffic. What kind of father would I be to not say to them, hey, baby, don't go out in that street, okay, because I love you, and here's the reason why you don't go out in the street. Do you see that squirrel over there? That's why you don't go out in the street. Amen? And you lovingly correct them. You don't correct them out of anger. God does not correct us out of anger. The Holy Spirit always corrects us out of love. Good teaching, Pastor. Amen. Man, we teach our kids out of the example of the Father in heaven that we have, out of love and not out of anger. Go on down. Divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed into a far country. Everybody say far country. We see far country in the Old Testament, it was away from God. And that's what he was doing. He was really running away from God. He was running away from his father. Amen. And there wasted his possession with prodigal living. Wasted everything. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in what? Want. Wow. Then he said, and then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And a Jewish lad feeding swine is not a good deal, baby. Jews and bacon just do not mix, right? And I love bacon, so I know that there's got to be, just that Gentile in me there. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, everybody say, thank you, Jesus. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You guys know this beautiful story. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called our son. Make me one of your hired servants, Lord. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. When he was still a great way off. You know what that tells me? His father was continually looking for him. Man, what an awesome, loving God we serve. When he was still a great way off. Amen. God is still looking out. Listen, God's still looking out your kids that may be a great way off today. Amen. God's looking out after them. God is loving them where they are. Don't fear, parents. God's got them. Amen. If you're a believer this morning, God has got your children. Hallelujah. Thankful for that. His father saw him and had compassion and ran. God ran. Amen. God ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Don't be afraid to show affection to your children. Well, I ain't gonna do that. No, my dad wasn't affectionate. It doesn't matter. Show affection to your kids. Let them know you love them. Amen? Don't be afraid to hug them. Kiss them on the cheek. Let them know you care for them. Amen? So many of you guys that get this model, no, man. No, love your kids. Love your kids. My father-in-law still kisses me on the cheek. I walk into his house. How old's Popo? 86. 86, walk into his house. He'll grab me and kiss me on my cheek. Amen? I think, thank you, Lord. Guys, don't be afraid to show affection to your kids. Let them know you love them. Amen and amen. Father kissed him. Amen? Hallelujah. Look what he said. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said, before he could even finish, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. You know, God's put a robe of righteousness on every one of us. We have been clothed in his righteousness. He said, put it on him and put a ring on his hand. Sign of authority. Hallelujah. God's got authority in our life. He put a ring on our hand, the signet ring. Praise God. We have authority this morning. And shoes on his feet, sandals on his feet. Not only do we have authority, we have stability in him. Amen. We're stable because of the love of the Father that we have this morning. Praise God. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. The sacrifice. Kill it. Kill the sacrifice. Jesus was our sacrifice that we could be sons and daughters of God. And let us eat and be merry. A party again. God really likes parties, by the way. Amen. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to make what? Merry. They begin to party. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. Deuteronomy 20, I'm going to close with this morning. God is in the party business. God doesn't mind you partying. Amen. Celebrating life. Praise God. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. Deuteronomy 21, 18. Look at this. For this, my son, go ahead, guys, put it up if you can. Deuteronomy 18, 21. Is that where I'm going to go? I think so. Deuteronomy 21, 18. There you go. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy 21, 18. Here we go. Deuteronomy. If a man, here's the law. Listen to this. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, guess what? Look at this. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of his city. Next verse. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you should put away the evil from among you, and all of Israel shall hear and fear. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad we're not under the law, but under grace? Woo! Wow. Eli, the high priest, had rebellious sons who were priests, and he failed to chasten them in this matter. This is the old covenant, the Old Testament son who showed rebellion. Wow. What a contrast to the prodigal. The New Testament son who showed rebellion, instead of God throwing stones at him, he threw kisses. The Old Testament account ended with death. The New Testament account ended with delight. God loves you today. The Old Testament account ended with a funeral, but the New Testament account ended with a feast. Under law, God is dealing with righteous judgment, but under grace, God is dealing with righteous love, his love. Amen? Aren't you glad today We are under grace and not under the law because all of us have been dead. Thank God for his grace today and the love of the Father. Let's stand this morning. Amen. He is a good, good Father. Oh, give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. No, you can do better than that. Give God some praise. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, God is so awesome and so good. His love is so awesome towards us today, church. He loves you so much today, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. As the song says, God loves you. God's grace has you covered today. Would you raise your hands with Pastor this morning? Come on, raise them up. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm under grace today. I'm a child of the God. I'm a child of yours. Free from rebellion. Free from it today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in my life, for your grace in my life. Lord, I don't walk in rebellion, but I walk in love because you supply that love to me today. Your love is overwhelming, all-compassing. Thank you for running to me, Lord. Thank you for believing in us, Lord. Thank you for your love today as a father. You're a good, good father today. Hallelujah. Overwhelming, reckless love of God. Hallelujah. So good. So good. Come on, just raise your hands a little bit more. Just praise him out of your hearts today. Thank you, God. You're so good to us, God. We love you. We praise you for your kindness. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in our lives today, giving us the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, we walk in your grace and your love today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Lord.
Be the winds and the seas. The anchor in the waves, how is my song? Let the king of my heart be the fire in my veins. The echo of my days, how is my song? You are good,
so good. You don't know him this morning. You don't know the God I'm talking about. He's right here. You can receive him. Just open up your heart and say, Lord, I believe in you. Thank you, Jesus. I believe in everything you've done for me, God, because you're good and you love me today. You've got purpose in my life. You've got destiny in my life. God, you are so good, and I give you praise for it today. Just receive him. Amen. You are loved this morning. He loves you so much today. Hallelujah. Thank you for a father's love this morning. Would you turn around and find three people and say, God is good. Amen. You are loved today. Praise the Lord.
Because you are good.